that has a pulse.
They're going after people that are typically not fit for military service, and yet they're so desperate, they're forcing them into some sort of conscription situation.
McGinnis says Putin is in a very bad place.
When you look at this, it is a sign of significant desperation on the part of Vladimir Putin, and it will not end well. And I think in part, you've already heard from Putin here recently when he declared that they haven't taken nuclear forces off the table.
McGinnis says clearly Putin's war in Ukraine is going bad on the battlefield and at home. To win, he needs to ramp up operations that will require more blood and wealth, both on short supply in Russia, which is why he is once again threatening to use nuclear weapons. I'm Chad Groening.
In final news, it was another setback for Wall Street on Friday. This September was the worst month for the market since March of 2020. The Dow was down 500, the S&P 54, and NASDAQ 161. For American Family News, I'm Robert Thornton.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to start a little bit of a study that works into explaining some of the basics of the Bible, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and I've been working on it for a long time. Probably been working on it for half a century, but there's so much that is going on in the news today that we hear from different news media that isn't true. And you can, if you're willing to look at both sides or numerous sides or numerous reports in the news media, you find out, well, wait a minute, this, you know, like just this morning I heard them saying that that there are more storms and all this stuff because of the hurricane. And in reality, there really isn't more storms. There's actually way less deaths from the people that killed in these different hurricanes and storms, etc. It's just not the same as they're saying on TV and the media. There's actually, to some degree, there's less storms in the last few years. There certainly isn't some kind of hockey puck increase at all. There is almost a hockey puck decrease in the number of people that are killed. Part of that is because of preparation, and we do have satellites that are watching the weather, and people, and of course, the media hypes it up so much, a lot of people take precautions. Sometimes homes are built better, and they can withstand the onslaught of winds and tides. And so the reality is there is no evidence that there are more storms that are caused by global warming. whether there's global warming or not, that is another whole topic, and that's not really the topic we're talking about. What we're talking about always when talking about the kingdom is the misreporting of the facts, because the facts matter. And we report a lot of facts. We go back to the original Greek. We go back to the original Hebrew language for the Old Testament. We look at all kinds of different reports, all kinds of different versions. We look at historical record, which has been increasing because they actually find more archaeological uncovery. Maybe we'll get to quoting somebody who was died in 1906, who did huge amount of study in numerous countries of the biblical text and came to a lot of different conclusions. Was a well-respected individual. But if he died in 1906, he never even saw the Dead Sea Scrolls. He never saw a lot of the things that had been recovered or uncovered about the biblical times. And reading the Bible in the context of the times, knowing what the language meant, what words meant at that given time in history, is absolutely essential to understanding what the Bible is saying to us today, because the authors used words that had a particular meaning at that time, and we need to know that meaning. Otherwise, we could be deceived to say that the new meanings that we have added to words are actually giving us a clearer picture than the people who read the Bible 2,000 years ago is absurd, because that would mean that the Bible was deceiving people 2,000 years ago, but we now know the truth. That doesn't make any sense. The apostles knew the truth. They knew Christ. When the people who wrote the Bible down, the different books of the Bible, the different epistles of the Bible, they had a firsthand knowledge. All right, the afternoon show that we do is often preceded by somebody who wants to throw Paul out entirely because that disagrees with their interpretation of the Bible. But that's, of course, either you're believing what the Bible has to say or you're not. But the reality is what you don't need to believe is what everybody tells you it means. So how do you know who's telling you the truth? We look at the news reports. You know, watch this station, watch that station. We can actually call people on the ground and the network and say what's actually happening. We can look up the data ourselves. But then again, we've done programs showing that data has been skewed by some overzealous collectors of data, especially concerning global warming. Actually, whistleblowers like in Australia went around and actually examined the actual stations and took their own figures and found out that their figures were different than the ones being reported by the official universities who sent out people to examine this. And when they uncovered that they were giving false data, they were skewing the data on purpose to prove that global warming, because it was important to them to prove that global warming is actually taking place. And, of course, I don't deny global warming is taking place. I'm just not sure they understand the cause, because I also look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and I see that there's global warming taking place on Mars and Saturn and Jupiter. And so if it's taking place there, it's pretty much not the burning of fossil fuels. It must be another cause that is influencing whatever data they are collecting. But we're interested in the kingdom. And I only use that as an example to show that people can skew the message of Christ, the message of Moses, the message of Abraham. And then once people accept it, they will deny anything that is contradictory to what they already believe. We see this with the COVID. Everybody believed that, oh, masks will make a difference. Well, actually, everybody didn't believe that, but the media was telling us that. Dr. Fauci was telling us that. But then Dr. Fauci said something different at another time, and then he went back and said another thing at another time. And so the science was constantly changing out of one individual's mouth. But then if you actually, we gave lots of reports at Preparing You, and if you're in the network, you will have got them. I just talked to somebody who is actually a part-time neighbor, and they got deathly ill after they got the jabs. And they say, well, now we know, because it's coming out that we didn't really need to get those things. And they really aren't effective. And I says, well, we all knew it on the network, because we actually looked at other sources. Now, why did I look at all these other sources? Well, because something told me, a little bird told me, a little spirit, a little voice in my heart said that something's wrong. And so I went up and looked for second opinions, and I shared those second opinions with lots of other people. And now much of what I was saying, almost all of what I was saying is true, because I'm reporting what other scientists are saying or discovering, and that's my report. I didn't do all the studies. I read many of the studies that were coming out even before the first vaccination, and I shared them. You can look up them up at Preparing You, numerous scientists, and I go down, and there's many links on that page to some of their reports, some of their studies, some of our other articles that show that we knew what was going on as far as, you know, what was happening with this pandemic, and we shared it. And many people made choices based on that information. But, of course, our contention is that you need to make choices based upon the Holy Spirit and not upon just facts. But why are we sharing all these facts? Why do we take all this time to look up these facts and show you what other churches, other ministers, other purveyors of doctrine do not show you? Well, the reason why is so that you can set down the misinformation you've already accepted as true. The same as people might do when looking at climate change or other things like COVID and economic things that are going on. We're actually going to get into that. I've taken a lot of notes on some of the economic crises that are on the brink that are coming in the future, and what you can do about it, because everything that we're seeing today, to some degree or another, the principles of it, the driving forces of society, as well as the collapse of society, the breakdown of society, the corruption in society, the corruption in government, has happened over and over again throughout history on different levels. One of the early articles I wrote is, you can go to Preparing You and look up the term Rome, and we show you that Rome wasn't so different from what we're doing today. It just depends on what time period you look at Rome. And the reason why is people are not so different. Spirit of righteousness is not so different. The spirit of unrighteousness is not so different. So once we understand those spirits, those driving forces in society, we can kind of see where society is going. What we need to see is where we need to go. And that's what Christ came to tell us. And if somebody is misreporting what Christ came to tell us, giving us definitions of words that just ain't so, giving us definitions of words that are contradictory to what Christ actually meant, we can be misled. And of course, Christ warned that many would be misled, that there would be a strong delusion, that you know, many people would be making a mistake. Peter warned us, Paul warned us. But can we recognize those warnings in relationship to what we already believe? Because those same people that had gotten deathly ill, that they have friends that are still believing that all this was good, and all these, they have decided, no, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't, because they've actually looked at other information. But I think this is what I found when, you know, I just came back from a trip that took me all the way to Wisconsin. And I observe people and the way they think and what they say and what they believe. And I've known some of these people for a long time. And the reality is that what is it that one person sees a set of facts and comes to a conclusion, and another person sees the set of facts and they come to a completely different conclusion. You know, I've given the example of the Essenes reading the same exact Torah that the Pharisees were reading. They read it in Hebrew. They could read it in Greek. And they were coming to a different conclusion as to what it meant, as what the prophets were trying to tell us. And many of the beliefs that we see coming down from the people that we call Essene were in alignment with what we see coming out of the mouth of Christ. What a lot of people don't see is that we're actually following the ways of the Pharisees more, because we create a doctrine, a dogma, created by men, not by Christ, using the words of Christ, taking them from here and taking them from there. They build an image of Christ, the image of the gospel, and people accept that. But what they're actually often doing, I mean, there is 40,000 denominations, so somebody's doing this. They're actually masking the actual gospel. So you cannot really see the true face of Christ. And so we want you to see the true face of Christ. We want you to be able to recognize the Holy Spirit of Christ when it speaks to you in your heart and your mind. And when you see that, you can set down the lie, because this is what we were warned, that there'd be this strong delusion that people might believe a lie. And there's a lot of lies out there to believe. And we see it in lots of different aspects of life. I always remember that my uncle, when he went to school, they told him that the Aurora Borealis, the northern lights, which he could see from the his front yard many times because he lived far north up in North Dakota. He said that that was reflection of sunlight off of the poles. That's what he was taught in the school. And I was trying to tell him, no, that's not the case. That's not what it is. It's the heating of the upper atmosphere through, you know, the solar winds that come from the sun. It's not reflection off of the ice cap. And he didn't want to believe that. But I was somewhat persuasive because of the fact that I had had a lot of information before, but that's not what he was taught in school, and he was going to resist. We actually later, with my cousin, we went over, and that he lived across from the one-room schoolhouse, and we went in there, and we actually found the book that said that the northern lights were caused by sun reflecting off of the North Pole. That's what he was taught. He believed it for decades and decades. He resisted believing me when I was saying, no, it's actually something different. And because once you accept an idea as true, it's hard to let it go. And why is that? Well, it's pride. And I'm not saying that pride is always bad. Pride is good. But pride against the truth is not a good thing. And it can get you killed. It can get you into a lot of trouble. It can lead you down dangerous paths. And of course, today, the whole world is going down an extremely dangerous path. And, there something wicked this way comes. And so we want to prepare as many people that have the humility to look and see what it is that we do not see, that we need to see in order to be saved. Because we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I saw another report today, Stossel did this, about all these volunteers in the Ukraine that are coming there and so efficiently helping people out by the thousands, because they don't look to the government bureaucracy. They do it on their own. And, you know, that is a kingdom track, where that's what the Christians had to do, because they were excluded from the government benefits of Rome. And there were lots of government benefits, and there were lots of famines that we see in Acts, dearth coming, which is food shortages, economic crunch. There was runaway inflation in the first few centuries after Christ because they had taken all the silver out of the Roman denarii. And there was corruption in the governments, and Christians fared pretty good, even despite the persecution. And we've shared on some of our pages the actual trials of some of these Christians back in the early 100 A.D., 150 A.D., and what they were accused of. What was the conflict between the Christians and the Roman government, the Pax Romana, the Roman peace? And that's why we wrote the article on Rome, to show you the parallels to our own time. This is an individual journey, but we need to learn to make it together. It's a voluntary journey where we need to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. People today, this is one of the biggest blind spots. They're not willing to see what is righteous and unrighteous. Should be pretty obvious. And we've got lots of stuff that we will show you that. But what we're going to talk about, because Jesus said the weightier matters were law. That's what he said, the weightier matter was law. But he added the weightier matter of law, justice, mercy, and faith. So law has to be justice. And we've seen a lot of law enforcement people being unjust recently. And we see a double standard out there. That was a double standard at the time of Christ. We see people being arrested for really no crime more than suspicion, or at least they're being swatted, as they say. You're going to see more and more and more of that because the world has gone down this other path, and they sit in darkness and they are blind to what they're doing. And anybody who speaks something that sounds like the truth, they are going to want to suppress. But if people are willing to speak it, you should be willing to listen to it. Even if what they're saying to you is a lie, you listen to, why do they accept this? I think this is not true. I think that is not true. Well, explore it. But you're going to need an inner compass, a Holy Spirit, and the law can actually lead you to that Holy Spirit if you understand what the law is, because Christ said it was the weightier matter. But the problem is there's so many different definitions of the word law. There's so many different systems of law. Even the word Torah is said to mean the law. So what is the law? Well, one law is natural law. And natural law is also defined as right reason and divine will and this idea that it is built into nature itself by God, the Creator, that we were endowed by with our rights by a Creator of nature, and nature's God. So what are they all talking about, and how can this help us? I mean, I heard economically people are saying, oh, that this runaway inflation, we need to buy gold. Well, there was an HJR 192 back in the 1930s that made it illegal for U.S. citizens to own gold. They repealed that law, but they only have a legal title to gold now. And if you don't know what that means, stay tuned and we'll be showing you. But the Torah is said to be the law of God. That is the way they define it, as revealed to Moses and recorded in this first of five books of Moses in the Hebrew scriptures, which we call the Pentateuch. In the Hebrew, we see this word that we pronounce as Torah, as the letters of Tav, Vav, Resh, Hey. And that means, or said to mean, instructions, teachings, law. But it should be law through the Holy Spirit. Is it law through the Holy Spirit, or is it law through the imagination of men, through the doctrines of men? What did Christ mean when he said the weightier matter was law? What law was he talking about? Because there were lots of laws. There was a law that was nailed to the cross. Is that the same law that Jesus says is the weightier matters? We say this one word law, and we seem to think it's all-encompassing. And the Greeks, they only had one word for law, generally speaking, which was nomos. But the Romans had two words for law, two words that are commonly translated law. They knew the difference. Very few people. And then I discovered this years ago when I first picked up Black's Law Dictionary that mysteriously appeared on my front doorstep. And I saw there was so much Latin in this Black's Law Dictionary, a common law dictionary used by attorneys all over the United States and has been around. I mean, they're up to, I don't know, 9th, 12th edition now. Mine is Black's 3rd, but they all have this Latin in them. And I know Latin. God had put me in a place when I was 13, I was studying Latin. So I could read what they said the Latin meant, and I read the Latin. And I saw there were two words they were constantly translating into law. One was jus juris, the other one was lex legis. They're not the same words. So that was the beginning of my trip into this, and we're going to take you down some roads that you didn't even know existed. So be right back.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
So we'll take a look at this this word Torah, which a lot of people say means law. And it does to some degree. And then, like I mentioned, that there was a law that was nailed to the cross. But that's what people, that Christ nailed it to the cross. And it's done away with. Well, which law is done away with? Because it actually says handwritten ordinances. And, of course, supposedly, if you believe that the Torah was an inspired book, or the Pentateuch were inspired books, as a result of the revelation of God in the heart and mind of Moses, then it wasn't just handwritten. It was written by revelation. And whatever it was meant by that revelation, that's true. That's actually what is, because God is this existing one. This God is, to understand God is to have right reason about God, to really understand God. Problem is a lot of times, like I said, we create an image of God and we believe in that image. So we're going to take a look at this word Torah real quick. I mean, it's basically consisting of four letters, Tav, Vav, Resh, Hey. And as we've said many times, all these words, all these letters have meanings. That's the way Hebrew was constructed, so that each stroke of a letter has a meaning, and by putting that letter there, you're adding meaning to the word. And this is really handy when trying to look at it and figure out what the words mean. Problem is that the word Torah isn't always written with just those four letters. It's written a number of different ways. And we'll look at one or two of them in context so that you get an idea. We can't go into all of them, or we will never get to this. And I don't know that, you know, in seeking the kingdom of God, which is an infinite kingdom, we're never going to get to it. But if we can dispel some of the misinformation we accepted as true, it might help us when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us with this still small voice in our heart and our minds, and we don't listen to it because we have this other information already stuck in our heads by other people that is actually part of that strong delusion. That strong delusion keeps you from seeing the truth. I can't give you the truth. I don't have control over it. But that divine revelation that we see coming from Moses, coming from Abraham, the man of faith who walked in faith, that you need. You need that same faith. You need the faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, and the faith of Jesus Christ. You need the heart of Jesus Christ. You need the mind of Jesus Christ. And if you're creating images of Christ in your mind that are incorrect, they will keep you from seeing the whole truth, because you won't see Christ. You have this blockage that you need to set down. This is why humility is so important in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, again, those letters, Tav. What is the letter Tav? Generally speaking, and I have some really short definitions of the meaning of the word Tav, and it's not just based on my opinion. It goes back to ancient theologians, ancient scholars, people who have studied the language for over thousands of years, and they seem to come to a kind of consensus. I've gone out and, you know, with my own guiding Holy Spirit, found the different people that talked about this, and I quote them. I put their words in these definitions to share with you. It may not be 100% accurate, but we're talking about words, and every word has multiple meanings. And so every letter will have multiple meanings, but there are patterns to those meanings. And Tav is a seal of a higher realm, and that realm is where revelation comes from. This is the spiritual realm. This, the Tav, is the seal or the connecting point of that higher realm. It is the crown through faith in a spiritual or sub-quantum reality. I could put pseudo-quantum reality, a spiritual reality. It's our connection to that spiritual realm that we can't see. It's not. It's a more subtle realm. So, but that Tav is the letter of faith. It was actually written as a doorway, because it's this doorway to that realm, that kingdom of heaven, that we need to access, and Christ was the door. And the doorway is from where this revelation comes, through faith in that door, faith in that Christ. You see, so these are metaphors. Words are symbols of ideas, and so I'm taking a look at those symbols. So you have to ask yourself, now, do you really, all kinds of people believe that they believe in Christ. And James has a lot of stuff, even Paul has a lot of stuff telling you how you can tell whether somebody is really have faith. And he says, judge me by my works. What am I doing? And how important that is, it really we're going to see because of the words of Christ, because the doctrines of the church are only the doctrines of Christ. And you always have to read James and Paul in the context of Christ. And we have Christ's words reasonably consistent. I mean, people will read the whole Bible, and they'll, of course, they're reading it in English, and they'll say, oh, this contradicts, and oh, this, he says one thing here, and he says another thing here, and, you know, like Mark seemed to have some problems with geography in Israel, like he had never been to Israel. And a lot of theologians notice this, that, oh, well, he thinks that this was close to that, and no, we know it isn't. So there was, like, errors in his reporting. But the essential message of Mark is not an error, not in conflict with Christ. You just have to understand it. And, of course, this is why Paul gets such a bum rap, and Peter warned us that Paul was going to talk to us about things hard to understand. So anyway, Tov is this letter of faith. That's the first letter of the word Torah. Second letter is Vav, and Vav is a connecting or dividing symbol between realms and worlds. That's the way they say it. It's dividing between realms and world, or connecting between realms and worlds. So again, that you can, if you have the door open, you haven't really made a connection. You got to go through the door. That's an act of doing, going through the door. And you know, just like Jesus uses the same metaphor, knock and the door will be open. He's not actually talking about a real door. He's talking about principles. You have to desire to see the truth and be willing to see it. But if the door is open, you still have to go through it, the act of going through it, and which brings us to the next letter, which is the Resh. The Resh is almost, and all Hebrew scholars, is referred to as a process of clarification. And that process, that has to do with action, a process of clarification, life's revelation. So in other words, you when you open the door and there's light on the other side, you have to be willing to see that light, to receive that revelation. And if you're not willing to see the revelation, you're not going to know the truth. You're not going to know the law. You're not going to know the way. That's what Christianity was called, the way. And so the last word is complementary to, the last letter is complementary to the letter Resh, which is Hey, which is an expression of thought, speech, action. So again, this process has to be put into action. And we're going to tie these together over and over again and show you how important that is, because Christ said it was important. He said you couldn't just be a hearer of the word, you had to be a doer. He's talking about this Resh Hey, the process of clarification through the expression of thought, speech, and action. You have to be a doer of the word. Somebody just did a video in New Zealand that was shared with me by one of the ministers there in Australia. And he mentioned me in the video, and he mentioned what we had talked about. And he kind of considers himself, he doesn't like to call himself a Christian. And I understand that emotion because of the fact when I first began to understand how I was lied to when I was in, you know, not necessarily everybody was lying to me because they wanted to lie to me, but because they were already believed a lie when I was in the seminary. That it gave me a distaste. I didn't want to use the word church. I started using the word ecclesia all the time instead of the word church, and I see a lot of people doing that over the years. But I realized at one point that that was because I hadn't forgiven the people who told me things that were not true, misled me with false information. I had to forgive them because they know not what they do. Isn't that what Christ said? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Once I forgive them, I could use the word church. I could use the word Christian. I try to put lots of adjectives in there, the modern church versus the early church, because they're not, The modern church isn't doing what the early church did. The modern Christian isn't doing what the early Christian did. And that's what we're going to want to get to, is what did the early Christian church do? Because chances are it's closer to what Christ wanted us to do. And Christ said we had to be doers. We don't earn salvation. But if you don't do, you'll forget. And that's just what he was telling on his video, and I've talked about it many times, that I will sit there and I will show the Bible. People have these misconceptions simply about what it says in the Bible. And I said, well, it doesn't say that. And they said, oh, no, it says that. And I said, no, it doesn't. And where do you think it says it? And they tell me, and we go look it up, and they go like, oh, my gosh, it doesn't say that. Now, I mean, over and over again, because of the fact that they get these concepts in their mind, and they stick in their mind. You know, we're having more storms than ever because of global warming. And no, we're not actually having more storms than ever. We're not having more deaths than ever. But you heard it on the news, so it has to be true. But it isn't necessarily true. And it's the same with the gospel. You heard it from a preacher. He's a real nice guy. Yeah, but he's deceived. He's under a strong delusion. He's giving you misinformation. Now, I could be giving you misinformation. Again, what you need is the Holy Spirit. And if you become a doer of the word, if you knock on the door like you really want to know the truth and are willing to know the truth, even if the truth proves you wrong, and you're willing to see the light on the other side of the door, and you're willing to walk and have a connection to that light, so that that light shines on you, and this is where the stopper is. That's why I tell you about Adam and Eve, that the cherub there, he's not keeping you from the tree of life. He's marking its location so you can find your way back. They left the garden because they were afraid they couldn't see the light. They didn't want to see the truth. We see that right at the beginning of the story. They hid from God because they knew they did wrong. That is the message. You have to be willing to see you're in error in order to find your way back to the light. And the closer you get to the light, the more error you see in yourself, the more failing you see in yourself. And you have to forgive yourself as well as forgive everybody else. We're forgiven as we forgive. That's what Jesus says. That's his doctrine. And so, there, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So once I did that, then I could call myself a Christian. I wasn't going to call myself an Ecclesian. And I don't have a problem with it. But I qualify what that really looks like. Because if you're not following Christ, if you're not following the way, if you say you believe, Jesus said that's not enough. You have to be a doer of the word. So what is the word telling us to do? Well, it isn't any different because God is the same today as he was yesterday. So we have to find out what that was. So basically this word Torah, as they say, means the law. Actually has to do with instruction and teaching and law through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Torah is doing. Now, Moses received the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote things down in words that are symbols of ideas and shared them with the people. There was even 10 commandments, supposedly, that's what we call it, 10 commandments, 10 statements, that were etched into stone. And they weren't etched into stone until it was very clear that the people's heart was so hardened that they would not go up the mountain. They couldn't hear the truth. They were afraid of hearing the truth in their hearts and their minds, and so God wrote it on stone. But what the Ten Commandments are is instruction telling you how the universe works, how the law works. It's not really law itself, and we'll look at that and find out. When I say it's not really law itself, in the way we often think of the term law today, God was not setting up a legal system with the Ten Statements on those stones. He wasn't setting up a legal system. Now, just saying that, unless you understand those two words, those two Latin words, jus juris, jus juris, which means what is just, right, and fair, what's truly right, what is truly righteous. And the other word, lex legis, which means the law you are bound under. How do you get bound under that law? Through contracts, covenants, and constitutions, through the dainties of the king. They use the term dainties in Proverbs to agree by consent to all have one purse, like we also see in Proverbs. Or their table is a snare, as we see David saying, and Paul quoting David in the New Testament. Most of these statements you're not going to get. By making men of the earth our fathers, instead of our natural fathers and the natural way of Christ through the family. The volunteers that we saw, that I talked about on the Stossel report that just went out on Facebook or something this morning pretty early, he's showing that these volunteers are way more efficient, way more dedicated, helping all kinds of people. But the government bureaucracy is not so efficient. Why? Because they're a little bit closer to the way of Christ, which Christ was creating a government called the Kingdom of God. He appointed that kingdom to his apostles. He said, you're not to run this government like the governments of the Gentiles, who exercise authority and control from the top down, but you are to do it through charity, through faith, through hope, without an exercising authority. That's a different kind of government. We see is the kingdom track of that government in those volunteers over there helping people. And you're going to need lots more of those volunteers, not so much in the Ukraine maybe as in your own hometown. And you need to organize yourself, which is another commandment of Christ to his apostles, that you make the people sit down in symposia, which is 10 men, and in groups of 50 and 100. He said he commanded his disciples to make the people organize themselves in that manner. Somebody said, well, that was just for that one thing in Mark 6 where they were going to need it for the distribution of food. Well, did they need it for distribution of food when the apostles were working daily in the temple, rightly dividing the bread from house to house? How could they do that without a network? I mean, Peter's got to know where everybody lives, and he's got to do this. Even the picking of the seven that we see in Acts. Nobody told me what that was. I asked over and over again in the seminary. Nobody told me what was really going on there. Oh, these guys were, they were like going to wait on the tables to make sure everybody got food at the table. Then why did they pick seven guys that lived all over the Roman Empire? They didn't live in the same town. Seven guys, and they're going to, they're serving unleavened bread at the table for widows and orphans. It says wait on tables, except for that same word tables is also translated bank in the same book. And if you know the history of the time and why seven men and everything, which we explain at Preparing You, it gives you a little bit different picture. It'll show you what you need to do as volunteers. And we have free books that you can read online. That we just have them up there. You don't have to become a member. You don't have to give me your credit card number, your email number. Just see, can you find it? But do you want to see the whole truth? So the Torah held to be the most ancient of his stories. Exists today in three separate versions. The Hebrew, considered the authentic by the Jews and the Protestant clergies. There's the Greek Septuagint, which was used as an authoritative in the Greek and other Eastern churches. And there is the Samaritan Torah, the standard authority for that people, the Samaritans. Did you know there's still Samaritans around? And they have their own Torah. And they read from each of these. Now, I'm actually quoting that historian I told you about that died in 1906, I think it was. I have to do some of this by memory. Anyway, these three versions differ greatly, one from another, even with regard to the lifetimes of the most celebrated figures in the text. In the Hebrew Torah, it is recorded that from Noah's flood until the birth of Abraham, there was an interval of 292 years. In the Greek, that time span is given as 1,072 years. While the Samaritan version has a recorded span of 942 years. Now, personally, I don't think this is extremely important to you understanding what is the revelation of the Holy Spirit and what is the imagination of men who want to deceive you. Because right now, I see a concerted effort to deceive the whole world, not just by the Bible and about the Bible, but about all kinds of things. And we're seeing that revealing itself. Yet, many people will be in denial, and they will continue to say that they believe what they know to be a lie, which is evidence that somebody is lying to them. They won't accept that. So I just give that example because this particular scholar pointed out there's actually lots of other examples, and I'm not advocating, you know, I've looked at the Samaritan text, and I've looked at some of the original language that they have, although their Hebrew is a little bit different. I've looked at the Septuagint. My Greek is not that good either, but I did have Father Dirks teaching me Greek back then when I was 14. He was excellent. But I've also looked at the Hebrew. But I'm not interested in calendars. God has not given me an enthusiasm for calendars, but He has given me an enthusiasm for truth. And I'm only pointing this out, you know, and there's guys like Henry Westcott, talked about the three Torahs and this descendant of Shem, because we know Shem was blessed by Noah, but we don't know who Shem blessed. And from the creation of Adam to Noah's flood is recorded as this 1,656 years, and the Greek Torah is has this interval of 2,200, etc. So, what's the significance of that? Well, what's the significance of who Shem blessed? And we've explained before to people that that Shem was probably Melchizedek. That was well accepted by Hebrew scholars for a century upon century, and there's all kinds of extra books that wrote about that. And according to the chronology of time, he was still alive at the time of Abraham. But what we do know in the text is whoever Melchizedek was, which means righteous king. And why was Melchizedek a righteous king? Well, it's my contention is because he was a king of a voluntary government. He was not exercising authority from top down. He was dependent upon people's free contributions to take care of the important duties of a king or ruler. He wasn't ruler over the hearts and minds of men. He was a ruler of righteousness. And people supported him because he made good decisions. If you're in a government that forces the contributions of the people, you're not free. You're probably in the bondage of Egypt. And as an individual in the bondage of Egypt, they will tell you how much of your labor you have to give. God doesn't want you in that bondage. He wants to set you free. And He uses the true Torah and the true gospel to do that. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So we're looking at these discrepancies that were pointed out by Sir Abdul, who wrote back in 1906 or around that period of time. I'm actually not sure. He died when he was about 75. I remember that, but I'm not sure of the exact date. But he was a world-traveled scholar and wrote extensively, I mean thousands of papers on his examination of the scriptures. He was an advocate of the scriptures, but he was pointing out what appeared to be discrepancy in these different aversions. And he reflects now over this discrepancy amongst these three Torahs. The case is indeed surprising, he says. The Jews and the Protestant belittle the Greek Torah, while to the Greeks, the Hebrew version is spurious, and the Samaritans deny both, as the Hebrew and the Greek versions is not accurate, because it's not any different than those people who watch CNN and CBS and CNBC and NPR and Fox News. Those people who follow those different news stories are not seeking the truth. They're seeking to verify that what they are watching, what they are accepting as truth, that becomes their God. That is the source of their revelation. That is this, back 2 years ago when a lot of this pandemic was, I was getting feed from the BBC through one person and feed from the state capitol from another person. And I'm listening to this and I'm getting more quiet, more still. It's kind of like when I see, a violent situation or a riot, I actually get calmer and calmer because I know now is really important to listen to the Holy Spirit. And by my nature, I don't want to get swept away in the river, in the current of thought. That I actually look into the heart of the people talking to me, and I'm realizing that you are being motivated by what you heard in your ears. You're not being motivated by the Holy Spirit, and hopefully the people that I'm interacting with will, in what you would call the Logos, which we're going to get into, will also calm down and see that they are being swept away by a narrative that just isn't so. But then you have the second question, what is so? What is true? And it's not the version, although, I use certain versions. I mean, King James is a version. I look at the Greek and the Hebrew. But the version you want to know is the version that the Holy Spirit is telling you. And how do you know it's the Holy Spirit and not your own imagination? I mean, the word Torah shows up in the Bible, 219 times. It supposedly means law or direction or instruction. But it says right in the definition of the Torah, in your standard concordance, it can be human or divine. So that's where you get the handwritten ordinances that were nailed to the cross, were the handwritten ordinances of Herod and the Pharisees. Because Rome said there was another king, one Jesus. They said, this is the king of the Jews. This is how the apostles got to work daily in the temple. Well, what were they doing in the temple? See, if you don't know what they were doing in the temple to begin with, but evidently, they were rightly dividing bread from house to house. Why? Because religion was the social welfare system of society. It wasn't just what you think about God. Now, what you think about God would affect the way in which you would set up a social welfare system. But the only place in the whole Bible where it talks about religion in a good sense, it tells you, because it's talking about pure religion, it's how you take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society. And it's only pure if it's unspotted by the world. And if you don't know that the word world there in that one verse actually is defined, according to the concordance, as a constitutional order or system of government, you may not understand that. I just was listening to a online course, started taking at Hillsdale College, talking about David. I don't know if I'll ever get through it. I struggled through the introduction, because in the introduction, Aaron, whatever his name is, talked about, of course, his kingdom was not of this world. Well, I know he's meaning that in the sense of not of this planet, not on this in this world, that it's a heavenly kingdom, it's where we go when we die or something to that effect. I mean, he didn't go into details. But Jesus only said that to Pontius Pilate. He said, my kingdom's not of this world where you're about to sit in the judgment seat. What Jesus was saying is you haven't got any legal jurisdiction. Because I'm not a part of your system. Pontius Pilate got it. Pontius Pilate understood, and he didn't sit in the judgment seat. He washed his hands of the case. Of course, you have to understand Roman justice to maybe understand that. Well, those are the kinds of things that we look at to figure this out. But the Torah can be law or just direction or instructions, either human or divine. If it's divine, how do you find out? You say, well, I read the Bible. How do you know your interpretation is correct? How do you know that your perception of the words is correct? You might think that Jesus' kingdom is not of the world, yet Jesus said the kingdom is at hand, it's within your reach, go and preach the kingdom of heaven at hand, it's for the living, not for the dead. But you say it's only after we die. Well, your interpretation isn't consistent with the rest of the things that Jesus said, so there's something wrong. So, the Torah could also include a body of prophetic teachings, law of the burnt offering, that's another thing, that, you know, I'm quoting phrases here out of standard definitions, the law of special law, codes, of law, customs, manners. Well, in the Torah, we see statutes of Moses and commandments. And they even talk about the Deuteronomic or Mosaic law. Well, statutes, the word they use for statutes isn't the same as the words that people are often thinking about as law. It means something different. If we look at Genesis 26:5, we see, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, his voice. Well, logos is said to be words, voice. You know, and God, you know, spoke and creation came into being. So this voice of God, this is God speaking, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, this still small voice other prophets talk about, this revelation in his heart and his mind. Not the information he was getting from the fact checkers of his day, but this still small voice that guided him. And kept my charge. He puts in a word there, charge, which is meshmereth, which is kind of an important word that we will look at later, and will actually, that word is key to the coming revelation and destruction and dearth that is going to be coming in the future. And so I mention it here so that those who follow all the way through, which this may take months to get all the way through, will have, that will come back into play. But that's not the words we're going to look at here so much in this particular verse of Genesis 26:5. He says, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, we often refer to statutes as laws today. That the Romans would call that lex legis. That's part of the legal system. The law is jus juris. Well, they have the three words there we see in the Hebrew is mitzvah, is commandments, and statutes is chuka, and the word my laws is the word Torah. So we see those three words all used there in relationship and sometimes even translated law. They're not always spelled the same way. Sometimes Torah is spelled completely different. It, like I said, the Mishmereth that I mentioned up here, the charge, kept my charge. You'll find that same word used in Malachi 3:14 if you want to do extra credit. You can go to our study on Malachi 3:14 at Preparing You, which we've already done, and that word there, meshmereth, that we see translated charge here, is translated ordinance in Malachi 3:14. It actually has to do with you've done my guardian work. It's really what it has to do with, but like I said, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus a little bit on this idea of the Chukkah statutes and the commandments, mitzvah, which isn't the only word translated commandments, but in relationship to Torah, because that would give us a little bit of idea about Torah, because this is one of the problems of modern people throughout the world today, is that they say the law is the law. Well, what law are we talking about? Are we talking about statute law? Are we talking about natural law? Are we talking about Torah law? We're talking about commandments of, you know, kings and rulers or your parents, or, you know, because, you know, like people think, well, honor thy father and thy mother, that means we have to obey our parents. No, honor thy father and thy mother means you have to fatten your parents, because the word there, honor, actually means to fatten, to take care of, to provide for. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you should disobey your parents. You should obey your parents, but that's not what the commandment is trying to tell you. So anyway, like I said, in this Genesis 26:5, where we see this word Torah, you know, where he obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. The word law there is, well, actually, let's take a look at, it's, like I said, normally you have this Tav, Vav, Resh, Hey for Torah, but in this particular instance, we have Vav, Tav, Resh, Vav, Tav, Yod. Yet they translated Torah, like it's the same Torah that we see in other places. But that isn't the word that we see there. And as a matter of fact, even the mitzvah and the chukah, which we see as statutes, they have extra letters in them. Like mitzvah has mem. Normally there's a mem, ayon, vav, but there's a tav, yod here instead of hey, vav, hey. And that's what we see also in the word Torah, where they start with a vav. Remember, that's a connecting letter or a dividing letter. Well, at the beginning, it's connecting. Tav, resh, vav. Again, the vav connecting. But instead of hey, they have another tav. Faith to faith. And then they have a yod at the end, and the yod is divine spark. And we'll go through this a little bit by a little bit so that you can see. But actually, this is... it is that divine spark that is that point of revelation. It is that divine spark that makes man, man. It is that divine spark that connects you to God. Because you don't get the door flung wide open, you know, the doorway to this other realm. You get this point of light, this revelation, because God's not going to sweep all truth on you. He's going to sweep onto you this spark that tells you what you need to know today. You know, what do I do today? What, you know, who do I marry? That's a good question. You know, where do I live? What job should I take? How do we know these things? How do we make these decisions? Do you read the Bible and it tells you? No, it's the divine spark that tells you. And you, when you sit down to read the Bible, you need that divine spark, that point of revelation with you in order to figure out what it is. Now, I've given you all this complicated or seemingly complicated information over the Torah, the mitzvah, the chukah, the statutes. Basically, what I'm saying is that there is a law that was created when all things were created. And that pattern, that divine intelligence that created all things, that law is unchangeable. And that's what we're going to see when we get into understanding what the natural law is. Because that's the basic concepts and precepts. Once you understand that, everything else is going to fit into place based on that natural law. Because statutes can be unjust. Statutes can be in violation of the law. Interpretations of statutes, you know, like keep holy the Sabbath. People say, oh, well, we have to take Saturday off and go to synagogue or church on Saturday. And that becomes the whole basis of their religion. They won't let that go. But when you go study at Preparing You, go read our article on Sabbath. I think I have some recordings there as well. Sabbath is about a way. It's a statute. Actually, that's part of the Ten Statements. But you do it so that your days will be long upon the land. Well, no, that's actually why you fatten your parents, so your days will be long upon the land. But you work 6 days and you take the seventh day off instead of take the first day off and have to work the 6 days. That's the key to the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is about staying out of debt, about earning your rest, about being that doer of the word. Now, the fact is most of us aren't doers of the wording, so we have this divine intervention where God will heal somebody in advance. Christ did. He will protect somebody who doesn't deserve protecting. But then he says that if you don't change, though, Jesus says this to the guys he heals, if you don't change, it's going to, you know, when they casting out demons, if you don't change, worse demons will come back in. And this is part of the prophecy, you know, and coming out of Egypt. We were never to go back to Egypt again. What was Egypt? All the gold was in the hands of the government, and 20% of your labor belonged to the government, so you had to work for the government. You know, 20% of every day or 20% of every year, you had to work for the government. You know, if you got paid $100, they got 20 of it. You know, they weren't using dollars then, but they're using scarabs and things like that. But the point was 20% of your labor belonged to the government. That's the bondage of Egypt. And you didn't own your stuff. That's where the whole world is today. Klaus Schwab and his, you will own nothing and be happy. I can't imitate his accent. You already own nothing. But they may come to take it away from you. And this is where it gets into that peculiar word that we see in Malachi and in Genesis 26:5. These guys are betraying the whole planet. They think they're on a mission to save the planet. You know, just like the global warming people think they're saving the planet. I mean, who's going to save Mars? It's heating up, so, not very much, but we're not heating up very much. What's really going on? Well, somebody's promised, you know, Klaus Schwab the moon and all the people that are following him, and they're willing to betray the whole human race for what they believe is right, but they call evil good and good evil because they're not filled with the humility that is necessary for that divine spark. They're filled with self-righteousness. They are playing God. And that's why we did a few shows on somebody like Noah Harari. You know, I mean, he says it right out. I don't do it to turn people against Noah Harari. I want you to turn towards that divine spark that shows you what is right. You will not be able to receive that unless you forgive the Noah Hararis and Klaus Schwabs of the world and the Pelosis and CNN and NBC. But you also will not see it unless you, as you begin to see that the kingdom of God is a voluntary government based on faith, hope, and charity. And now you know a little bit more about faith. Faith comes with that divine spark. Faith has to be a faith in the God, not in an image of God that is created in your mind. It has to be a real relationship, something we're going to come back to over and over again because it's repeated over and over again in the text. And the way you come back in a relationship with God is you follow the ways of God, the righteous ways of God, which is you have to love your neighbor as much as yourself. You don't want to be taking a bite out of your neighbor, especially through men who exercise authority, especially through the Pharaohs and Nimrods and Cains of the world. You want to take care of one another through a voluntary system. In order to do that effectively, you need to sit down in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, like Christ commanded his disciples to make the people do. Now, they didn't go around with a whip like you see in the movie Ten Commandments with Moses and whip the people into line to pull their weight. They just said, this is what Christ wants us to do. And he wants his ministers to expect the people to do it. Most of the churches out there in those 40,000 denominations, they do not take care of the widows and orphans of society. They do not rightly divide the bread from house to house. If the houses in their church need bread, they have a list of phone numbers to call the government, the men who exercise authority, to go eat at their table, even though Paul and David said their table is a snare. Even though Proverbs say that if you sit and eat with a ruler and you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat because he serves deceitful meats. Those dainties are a snare. They will bring you back into the bondage of Egypt. You should have heard this. Your parents, your grandparents should have heard this message from your churches 100 years ago, when FDR offered the people lots and lots of dainties from men like FDR and LBJ and Obama and all the presidents in between. Those are just the kind of, you know, if you were to see a chart, they would be the spikes of dainties went up with them. But that's not what you should be eating at. That table is a snare. But you are. You're signed up. You got a number to prove that you have a right to eat at that table, and you paid into that table for years, and you're not very forgiving, so you're saying, well, I paid in, I want that money. Now, I'm not begrudging anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, I've cracked the door open a little bit. The heaven is a system of voluntarism, a system of love, a system of sacrifice, a system of caring for one another by choice, because the God of nature endowed you with the power of choice. But you gave that choice to people like FDR and Nimrod and Pharaoh and Caesar and LBJ and Obama, and you want to give it to Trump. None of that is your salvation. That's going on in the world. But until your religion is unspotted by that world, where you're not dependent upon them, you have need of repentance. And you're waking up now, and you're in the bondage of Egypt. Forgive them for putting them. Forgive your parents. Forgive your grandparents. Forgive your teachers in school. Forgive the churches that didn't tell you the whole truth. They don't know what they're doing. They sit in darkness. But if you've seen this much of the truth, that you're back in the bondage of Egypt, that they have a malevolent intent to maybe destroy large sections of the populations of the world. They want power to make choices for you. They don't want you to speak. They don't want you to open your business. They, you know, somebody was telling me they went to the airport, and in order to get through security, they had to walk two by two, two people, in step. They had to walk in step. Or the lady was yelling that she would send them back to the beginning if they didn't walk in step. So these, you know, sometimes, if you're traveling alone, you have to walk in step with somebody else. And the reason why, they got guard dogs circling around you, I guess, in front and back to sniff out bombs or whatever they're doing. I don't know. But it's all about control. It's all about power over your neighbor. It's not about loving your neighbor. you need to get in the way of Christ, which is about sacrificing your life for others in a way that strengthens the poor. That's how you seek the kingdom of God. The best way to do that is in a network of people, because you can't keep track of 100 people, but you can keep track of 10 or 11 or 12. And you start practicing. You know, we talked last night about somebody who is having all kinds of depression and all this kind of, a lot of tragedies just happened in their life. But they're extremely selfish people. They don't do anything for anybody else. Everything is about themselves. It's been that way for years and years. And now it's kind of snowballed on them. But one of the greatest cures of depression is to start caring about other people as much as you care about yourself. Start taking back your responsibilities. This is what the Torah was all about. This is what Abraham was all about. This is what the altars of Abraham, if you don't know what they are, look up our page on altars at Preparing You and find out what they were doing. Because Christ was doing what Abraham and Moses was doing. Just different terminology. We'll be right back.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, this same word that we see commandments in Torah in the Genesis quote is also in the Exodus 16:28, where it is written, and again we're looking at the English translation, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments? And he uses the word mitzvah. And my laws, Torah. Well, now I can hear echoing out of the thousands of denominations, oh, but the law has been done away with. Again, which law? The law of the Pharisees that put the people back into the bondage of Egypt under the laws of Herod? Because that's what happened. Herod instituted a system of social welfare based on forced offerings. You signed up and you had to pay in to the temple, which was a government building, which didn't even exist. I mean, the temple they had at the time of Jesus Christ, that was built by Herod. And he was able to build it by Herod because he had this tremendous influx of money. He had this tremendous influx of money and building supplies because they had already invited, when Aristobulus and Hyrcanus was vying in a civil war for the kingship of Judea. They were vying for that position. Aristobulus had invited in the Romans, Pompey. There was no emperor at that time in Rome. So they didn't invite the emperor. Pompey was a police-keeping force, international police-keeping force, that was arresting pirates in Libya and dealing with the criminality of the people in Libya. And he was invited to come and resolve this issue, and we've told that whole story, and so he goes and he resolves that issue, and actually he first sends a general, and then the general, you know, the fighting stops when the Romans show up, because nobody wants to fight the Romans, and Aristobulus is in power. But then they get complaints from the local people who come to the Romans as the UN police-keeping force, the Pax Romana, and say, you know, they're not supposed to be doing this according to the law in our country. And he looks at their law and he agrees. But Aristobulus didn't like those reforms. And so he writes to Pompey. And Pompey comes and says, show me your law. He reads the law and he decides, I backed Aristobulus. And Aristobulus doesn't have the best claim to the throne. He listened to the case, just like Pontius Pilate was going to listen to the case made against Jesus. But Pompey sided with Hyrcanus, not with Aristobulus. The money that he had received from, the gold that he had received from Aristobulus, he gave away to the temples, which were charitable institutions. And he backed Hyrcanus. But Hyrcanus said, according to the law, I can't make a treaty with you. And so anyway, I could tell you the rest of the story, a fascinating story. But if you understand what was going on, what was the difference between Aristobulus and Hyrcanus? What was the difference between Hyrcanus and Herod? Because the Romans brought all kinds of building of harbors and roads and stone buildings, money flowed in Israel. Peace reigned in Israel. Trade came in from far off in Syria and everything, and people were making money. And so there was lots of money flowing into Judea, and Herod wanted a piece of it. So he set up a system like what was being created in Rome at that time. This is now under the Caesars, Augustus Caesar, and they were setting up a welfare system through the government temples where you signed up, became a member, you were registered, and then you had to pay in. You were expected to pay in a percentage of what you produced. And there would be guys going out making sure you did it, the Gabbai and Molchai. History has repeated itself. You've done the same thing, starting at least with FDR. You were actually doing it before that, but FDR was a huge hockey puck spike in benefits. And you became collateral for the debt he was creating. And you willingly signed up for that. And you got all kinds of benefits. And those benefits have grown and grown and grown, but now they're out of money. Now you're going to see them decreasing. You're not going to see them taking care of the widows and orphans or even you. And you need to repent and go back to the kingdom, because that's the only way to do it. And the side effect of that is it begins to open the door. It is there knocking on the door of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because it's righteous to take care of the needy of your society. It is not righteous to covet your neighbor's goods through men who exercise authority one over the other. That is not righteous, never was, back in the Ten Statements. That is not righteous. That is coveting your neighbor's goods, desiring to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And so that's a different thing. Like, again, like I said, that word Torah that we see show up in Genesis and Exodus 16:28, it's spelled different, and there's several ways to spell it. And those several ways to spell it, this one includes Evav, Tav, Resh, Bav, Tav, Yod. No hey. Two Tavs divided by Resh and Bav. This is obeying the divine spark, the will of God, the natural law, in spirit and in truth. Two faith. In spirit and in truth. That's what that word is trying to suggest. Because that Yod is that infinite point, divine spark, hidden in the spirit. But it is also said to mean deed and work. Not because it's the result of deeds and work, but deeds and works are what come about because of the divine spark. And that divine spark is now faith from God, rather than faith from your own imagination, from what you believe God is. It's actually God writing upon your heart and your mind through that divine spark. And that faith compels certain deeds. Not me. I don't compel them. Not the governor, not the president, not the prime minister, not acts of parliament or the Congress, but it's the actual divine spark in your heart. If you don't act upon what that spark shows you, the flame will go out. That's what the guy in New Zealand was imparting. I thought he did a pretty good job. What he said, I could sit down and we could talk about it. We have a recording up where I interviewed him and another fellow, one from Australia, one from New Zealand, because they're beginning to realize this. But he's also realizing that if you don't start acting upon what you're beginning to see, what you're beginning to realize, then you will lose it. It will just fade away from your mind, because it's not your flame, it's the divine spark. And this is why Christ said, it's not enough to hear the word, to agree with the word. You have to become a doer of the word. This keeps the flame alive in your heart and your mind. The flame is independent of you. The Holy Spirit listens where it wills, and what is essential in receiving the Holy Spirit is that you act upon that Holy Spirit and the revelation that it gives you. That particular phrase, you know, I actually equate it with that picture of Michelangelo where it shows God reaching out and Adam reaching up and their hands coming together and you know, touching their fingertips. In that fingertip is the divine spark. Man has to reach out. God reaches out all the time. That's the nature of God. He's the giver of life, creator of life. But when that divine spark touches us, that is how he writes his character on our heart and our mind. And his character is that you do the work first, and then you get the rest. That's the Sabbath. That's what they're expressing. It's not magical days. It's not counting of days. It's a change of the heart where you're going another way. Not the way of the world, the way of force, the way of covetousness, the way of greed, but the divine spark of God, the character of God in our heart and our mind. And it will lead us to realize that honor thy father and thy mother is to take care of thy father and mother, which is one of the first reasons why the government comes along and says, oh, you don't have to take care of your father and mother. We'll take care of your father and your mother. Through Social Security. The goal of these systems is to kill care in the hearts and minds of the people, because that cuts them off from the divine spark that I have no control over. I can't give you the divine spark, the revelation of God. I can talk about what the revelation of God says, what it doesn't say, what the Bible says and what it doesn't say in the context of the history. But your real journey begins when you start caring about others as much as you care about yourself, which is what Moses said. It's what we see Abraham doing. It's what we see all the people that set up the altars of Abraham, which was actually a system of social welfare. Go read our article on altars of clay and stone and see what the Hebrew actually says. But until you start doing that, you're not going to receive the divine spark. You're not going to make that connection. You may have an emotional connection. We talked about that. The three words of the Greek philosophers, logos, which is right reason, pathos, which is empathy, and then ethos, which is some charismatic preacher who gets millions from you and makes you feel good, gives you the pathos, the emotion. But logos is right reason, and it is not right to covet your neighbor's goods through the men who exercise authority one over the other. Christ said it was not to be that way with you, but with almost every denomination that they say it is okay to covet your neighbor's goods, desire benefits at the expense of your neighbor. Two men who exercise authority one over the other. And you wonder why you've gone back into the bondage of Egypt, because you thought it was okay to put your own brothers and your own neighbors into the bondage of Egypt. Isn't that how they got into the bondage of Egypt to begin with? The brothers of Joseph sold him into the bondage of Egypt out of jealousy and envy. If you want the benefits of men who exercise authority, you will go under authority. Because you judge it's okay to put your neighbor under authority, you will go under authority. That is the Torah. That is the law of cause and effect. That is the law of nature. And that ultimately is where we're going to go, is to understand this law of nature and how it works, and hopefully get some insight into our own hearts and minds and where we have fallen short from the ways of God. Because Jesus emphasized the keeping of the commandments. Matthew 19:17. Is it not written? It says, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life," he says the same thing in another place, eternal life, "keep the commandments." But of course, in order to keep the commandments, you have to know the commandments. We got all these guys who are Seventh-day Adventists, and they think, oh, well, we have to count 6 days, and then we take off the seventh day. Read the article. Ponder it. Pray about it. It's about debt. Everybody, if you're in debt, if your society is in debt, you haven't been keeping the commandments, because you didn't work first. You borrowed against the future, and that's what they're doing every day. I mean, they tell you on CNN, they tell you on CS or whatever it is, NBC, ABC, all the alphabet outfits. The debt is going up every year. They're raising the debt ceiling. In every country, all around the world, that none of those people are keeping the Sabbath, because they're borrowing against the future of their children, which is what Peter said, that you would be made merchandise, human resources, by your covetous practices. He also said you would curse children by the covetous practices, not just your children, but your neighbor's children, because you're putting the debt on them. You're never going to pay off that debt. The only salvation now, I used to talk about this, explain this in the books, like the Covenants of the Gods. I go through it, the whole thing with how you go into bondage. Like I said, it was originally a 700-page book, but I reduced it down to 144 pages. You can download it for free online and read it. And I've taken it to top attorneys, men who wrote law books, and they said, you're right, but they're not going to like you. Why? Because I'm telling the truth. Now, there's two people that are not going to like me, the people that have been telling you the lies, and then many of you who love the lie, or want to believe the lie, that you're free in America, or free in Australia. Well, Australia's gotten a big wake-up call. They're not as free as they thought. But America's gotten, should have had a wake-up call. I mean, that certainly was there, but a lot of them didn't. But people are starting to stir and ask questions. Christ had the answer. Moses had the answer. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I mean, Abraham had the answer. I mean, Jesus really had the answer. Jesus was the answer himself. But the real Jesus, not the made-up fictitious Jesus that says, it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. Even though he said, John 14:15. Is it not written there? If you love me, keep my commandments. And he summed up the whole Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath, because he summed it up in two laws. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how does keeping, the seventh day, taking a rest on the seventh day or meeting on the seventh day, how's that loving your neighbor? Staying out of debt. Now you can love your neighbor. But, just going to church on Saturday, how does that help anybody? It's not rituals and chants and magic words and keeper of days. It's a keeper of righteousness. So if you're keeping the Sabbath and you're in debt, or you're borrowing money against the future so you can have benefits at the expense of your neighbor and your neighbor's children, you're not keeping the Sabbath. You're certainly not keeping the commandments. If you've made a covenant or agreement so that you can get these benefits at the expense of your neighbor, you're willing to take a bite out of your neighbor to get those benefits. That's not what Christ was teaching. And it's now we're seeing the repercussions of that, which we call the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the consequences of going against the God of creation and the nature of that creation. Because, see, all those 10 statements are telling you about, if you think it's okay to murder your neighbor, then it's okay for your neighbor to murder you. You'll be judged according to the way you judge. If you think it's okay to take away from your neighbor so that you can have free stuff, then it's okay for your neighbor to take away from you so he can have free stuff, right? That's built in. That's built into creation itself. In Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers in what? The people who don't believe in living by faith, hope, and charity, but do believe in living by force, fear, and fealty. But are you unequally yoked with those unbelievers so that they have control over your life? For what righteousness with unrighteousness? Why are you, what are the rewards of unrighteousness? They also, the same Greek words also are translated, I'm using the King James here, as wages of unrighteousness. That's the benefits you get from men who exercise authority, the men who borrow against the future and take away from your neighbor so that you can have free stuff. That's the wages of unrighteousness. But with those wages comes unrighteousness. Because if you think unrighteousness is okay, don't cry for justice. This is why Jesus said the weightier matters are law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What mercy have you had on your neighbors if you want the government to take away from your neighbors so that you can have stuff? Is that mercy? Is that love? Is that taking a bite out of one another? That will lead to you being devoured. Don't bite one another lest you be devoured. And what communion hath light with darkness? communion. Koinonia is the Greek, communion. And communion could also be considered Eucharist, Thanksgiving. Again, the kingdom of God operates by charity, which is the Eucharist of Christ. Thankful for the opportunity of giving. Giving wisely, giving so that you strengthen the poor. That idea of a voluntary network, of taking care of one another, is absolutely essential. Like I said, Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Are they covetous of one another? Are they taking away from one another? You know, Matthew 7:20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Isn't that what James is talking about? Judge them by their works. Even 2 Thessalonians, 1 chapter, verse 11, I think it is. Wherefore, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the works of faith with power. The works of faith with power. What do you think that word power is? What do you think they're telling you? Is that dunamis? Is that exousia? You know, they don't tell you all the time. We tell you all the time. We tell you what the truth is. But you need to understand what these commandments are, what the way is. You need to then put that understanding into action so that more understanding can come to you, so that you can begin to see the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole truth, because that's the definition of a lie, is something that is not the whole truth. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the actual God, not an imaginary God you've created in your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that's why we started with going through the different prophets. We have studies of many of the different prophets at Preparing You, and we put in side panels so that you can look up the words and find out what they were really talking about. And it's the same thing over and over again, because people kept straying in the same way. And now we're at a point in our own history where we have strayed in a similar way, and now we are in a lot of trouble, and that trouble is going to become more and more, because the wrath of God is the consequences of going against the law of God, which is the law of nature, which is explained by the Logos, which we will examine more in subsequent shows. But also, it is the law of the Torah, the law of taking care of one another through charity. They didn't. The word charity doesn't even show up in the Old Testament, but that's the work of the translators. The word's free will offering. Corban was a free will offering, but it wasn't a free will offering under Herod and the Pharisees. It became a compelled offering because you signed up and agreed, you consented to have one purse, and Herod controlled that person. That's why Jesus talks. I mean, the word is also translated treasury in the New Testament. But anyway, we're out of time. So I'm going to tell you peace on your house, and may God be with you. Join us on the network by going to preparingyou.com or hisholychurch.org and looking up the network links. Join the network in your area. Get to know people. Until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Well, we have, in our first hour, we're going to talk about news, current events, commentary, prophecy worldview on all those things. And in the second hour, probably move more toward Bible prophecy. So questions, comments, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net /chat and join the conversation. Okay, first off, we have from the Babylon Bee. Let's try a little bit of maybe humor, if you want to call this humor. From the Babylon Bee, 10 famous college grads who prove how smart college makes you. You can see where this is going, right? Okay, first we have, yes, number one, AOC, one of America's foremost intellectuals, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has knowledge, wit, and wisdom that is as deep as it is wide. Yeah, about that deep, but about that wide. All thanks to her economics degree from Boston University. Yeah, I hear this woman, and or I should say little girl, because she reminds me of a little girl who's trying to pretend like she's all grown up. I think she won a contest and got chosen by some liberal group to be put up to run for Congress. And it shows. Now, this little girl cannot go away fast enough. But, you know, you can pray for people like that, because maybe she could see the light. Maybe she could see that there's something beyond whatever's making up her life at this time, and all of the things that she's being rewarded with for being an idiot and serving Satan and the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist, because that's exactly who she's serving. But God did say, come out of her, my people, and that's as applicable today as it was, 500 years ago, when it became very applicable, when the Roman Catholic Church was outed as being the great apostasy and the papacy as the seat of the man of sin. Anyway, David Hogg, I don't even know who David Hogg is. He's so smart, he knows guns are bad. Not everyone knows that. That Harvard education really paid off. Ah, the Unabomber. Another Harvard prodigy. Most people today don't know who the Unabomber is, because most people today haven't been around that long. Oh, Kamala Harris. Yes, the sweetheart of the left. In college, she learned all 12 of the words she uses in a speech. Yes, I've heard some of her speeches. All right, we got down to Kamala Harris, number 4. Lex Luthor, thanks to his biomechanical engineering degree from Princeton, he gave Superman a real run for his money. What a guy. Yes. Everyone making your latte at Starbucks. Thanks to college, these bright young minds are probably the most educated people on Earth who have ever made coffee. Joy Bear studied sociology at Queens College, and it shows her brilliant insights on culture and the human condition are unmatched. Well, if you know who that is, that might make sense to you, and you might even chuckle at it, but I have no idea who this person is. The guy on the street corner with the sign saying, "Will work for food." Every word of that sign is spelled correctly. And number 9, they have Judas Iscariot, the only disciple who went to Harvard. And then 10, Joe Biden, the smartest president who ever lived. Thanks, college. And he wants to treat all of his, he's what you call alumni. And he wants to treat all the new college goers to having to free college and pay off all their college debts. Don't you want to go out work today just for that? Yeah. Thank you, Babylon B, for that. Let's see, what else do we have? Are you a fascist? 12 signs to look for. We'll have to save that one for later. See, hero. DeSantis flies Hurricane Ian to Martha's Vineyard. Okay. I think I like this one, though, here. Pelosi drafts articles of impeachment against new prime minister of Italy. Yeah, she dreams of it. She wishes for it. Like, she needs somebody to impeach. So, if she can't impeach Trump anymore, you know, what did they impeach him? 2 times while he was president and once after he left the presidency. I mean, they're going to get more opportunity. Nancy's hanging on by the skin of her teeth so that she can live long enough to impeach Trump again. Just 10 more times, whatever it takes. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Oh, yeah, FBI storms convent to arrest group of dangerous pro-life extremists. Yeah, extremists. I think that's how they say it, extremist. You're an extremist. I found out today that I'm a conspiracy. Oh, I found it yesterday that I was a conspiracy theorist. I didn't know all these years, but someone on Facebook finally let me know that, hey, man, you're a conspiracy theorist, so we're not going to listen to you, right? Yeah, they let me back on Facebook a week or so ago. So anyway, I like to fish in any pond that's available. I will fish in it. Because I'm looking for the elect. Yes. Okay, let's see. NASA saves face by claiming female astronaut running spaceship into asteroids was intentional. I guess that's supposed to be funny. But didn't they shoot something? I thought I saw an article, but didn't pay any attention to what NASA's doing. I think they had scheduled a moonshot, but I hear they canceled it or postponed it. So we're still waiting for them to really go to the moon. That's right. I'm letting my conspiracy theorist face show here. Oh yes, we went to the moon, everybody. Believe it. Yeah, despite the impossibility of it and the and the impossibility of doing it again after we did it in the 1970s or 60s, going back to even further than that, the 1960s, when I was a mere teenager, they went to the moon. Yeah. No, they didn't. But, you know, I think I believed it at the time, but hey, I was just a stupid child. What did I know? I didn't question anything. I just believed everything practically that they told me. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Oh, that's not funny. Fascism experts somehow able to find fascism everywhere, except where it is. Speaking of fascism, here I got another email from YouTube, and here it is right here. Hi, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Yeah, we wanted to let you know that our team reviewed your content. Wow, they're reviewing my content. At least somebody's watching it on YouTube. But the shadow banning won't keep the YouTube content reviewers from reviewing your content. They'll keep everyone else from reviewing it, but not themselves. And we think it violates our misinformation policy. We know you may not have realized this was a violation of our policies, so we're not applying a strike to your channel. However, we have removed the following content from YouTube. And this video is The Things That Divide Us, Generations Radio, that we put up on YouTube probably 3 years ago or something. Yeah, we realize this may be disappointing news, but it's our job to make sure that YouTube is a safe place for all. But they gave me a strike on my, oh yeah, this YouTube channel. There it is. A strike. Let's see. No, September 25th. That was 3 days ago. I got a strike on my Prophecy Reality channel. Yeah. And what was the name of the YouTube video? Jesus on Socialism. So, well, they have, Marxist, Communist, Socialist, probably saw the title on the video and decided to watch it and probably was offended by it and reported it. You know, some Marxist, Communist, Socialist, fascist out there trolling the net, interested in Jesus on Socialism. And you've heard my view on Jesus and socialism. And it would be offensive to a Marxist, because they'd know it's true, but it would offend them that other people could find out that it's true, because all I'm doing is quoting the scripture. But it's not what they've heard from their experts on Jesus and socialism, so it must be misinformation, right? So they gave me a strike for that one, and I have two strikes on my Prophecy Reality channel. And that's why I'm not on YouTube Live, because they like to strike me right away. And I have a lot of videos up there, but eventually this one they just gave me a strike on is like at least a year old, if not older. So it's been up there a long time. So if they're going to give me three strikes, which I have two already, all they have to do is pick or have some communists, socialists be offended by any of my other videos, which would be really easy. So they'll be ending my YouTube channels soon enough, I'm sure. And that's why I've moved all of our content is in the process of being moved for First Amendment Radio and being uploaded on Odyssey and Rumble. And let's see where else. Odyssey, Rumble. And I guess that's, oh yeah, and BitChute. So we're putting everything on Odyssey, Rumble, and BitChute every day. And all of the series I'm repeating for Tom. And the reason I'm not broadcasting on First Amendment Radio channel on YouTube Live or posting any more videos there is because I have actually literally thousands of hours of broadcasts up there from all of the series that Tom Press did over like 10 or 11 years are up there, and people are watching them. So, and some of these series, like the Global Vatican, has like 106 videos in the series, and there are people watching those. So I don't want to get a strike on there But I'm sure it's going to be ended sooner or later anyway, but I need the time to put those videos on other venues. I'm trying to get them all in Odyssey because that's the best place for to have a video list. The panoply of heads of state leaders at the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II highlighted the dire reality that there are at present no resolute statesmanlike leaders capable of reversing the accelerating decline throughout the whole of the Western world, thereby averting the very real possibility of a global conflict with an allied communist China and Russia. I've commented on this before. I think Russia and China are at the moment might be frenemies, but if you understand that new term, frenemy, they might be frenemies, but they will never be friends, and they will never truly be allies, because Russia definitely knows that if they help China gain a foothold or conquer any part of the rest of the world, that they will be conquered themselves by China. So actually, I believe that Russia is one thing, is one of the many things that's keeping China at bay. And I believe that the Russians are not fools, regardless of what Joe Biden and all his wisdom and eloquence wants you to believe, notwithstanding the president of Ukraine. The Russians are not fools. Yeah. The West, okay, this guy continues. Who is this? Steve McCann? I don't know him. The West, in particular, the United States, is currently populated with patronizing, oblivious, and callous leaders more concerned about themselves and globalism than the people and the future of their respective countries. Well, that is the absolute truth there. Nor do they acknowledge that Western civilization, because of its roots in Christianity, has increased freedom, wealth, health, comfort, and life expectancy to unprecedented levels throughout the world. Also true. They don't realize this because their evil eyes are blinded. They can't see the truth. They can't see that in tearing down the West that they hate, in tearing down Christian government that they hate, Christian ideals, and everything that made the West great, they're tearing down their own house. And when it falls, they will fall harder than anyone else. If only they could see that. If only their eyes were not so blinded, they could possibly see that. When virtually all Western nations pursue the same ruinous policies and their ruling classes have the same self-absorbed characteristics, decline and collapse from self-immolation is inevitable. In the debauched current state of Western civilization, the sole path of reversing this decline and collapse is for a tenacious and intrepid egalitarian leader from one of the major Western nations to assume the mantle of leadership. Well, he has to fight the Antichrist to do it, and his shadow government. And but I agree, and you know, we need that kind of leadership in America. It's rising up, as we can see from the Italian election. It's moving back in the other direction. And we had the joke about Nancy Pelosi drawing up articles of impeachment for the new Italian prime minister. Yeah. The only experienced and successful current or past leader with these attributes in the West today is Donald Trump. You know, that's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. I don't believe that he is the only experience, and his experience has not been good. It's been very bad. But that may be a good thing if he is genuinely, for bringing greatness back to America and putting America first. That experience could be very valuable in another run for the presidency. So if he's going to be the president, then I pray for his health and I pray for his wisdom. And I pray for his soul, too, that that he could repent for the things that he's done wrong in his life. And I know he's already repented for some things, but whether his repentance before God is real can only be between him and God Almighty. And we can only live to observe and see if it's true or not. Okay, we'll continue this conversation when we get back from this break. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we are looking at current events in this first hour. And I want to say hi to those people who showed up in the chat room while I was engaged in the first hour. Let's see, Fireman Mike, Corp Raid. And see, I can't read that one there. Oh, Stephanie, Dale, and Tom W. Oh, and Stephen and Ellie are there. Oh, yes, I put something in there earlier. Yeah, the people's platform should be to end all emergencies. Yeah, you understand what that means. It's like we're still under the war on drugs emergency has never been rescinded. So all emergencies need to be rescinded and revoke all executive orders. Now, that would be nice if we could do that in America. And, how about this mandatory sentencing for all politicians who violate their oath of office? That would be something to see. And see, that should be done anyway. But these guys love to violate. Most of the politicians up there are violating their oath of office every day or attempting to legislate against the Constitution and the rights and liberties of the people, thereby violating their oath of office. Mandatory sentences. I mean, violations depending on, you know, the, how severe, the crime is deemed to be. You could have first, second, and third degree violations of, your oath of office and, be able to bring charges up and implement mandatory sentences. They love to, Joe Biden, especially your president, all you liberals out there, that voted or wanted this guy or helped to cheat him into office, your pretender in chief out there. He had a great part in a lot of, putting a lot of people, especially minorities, in prison. Oh, also Kamala Harris. she, in California, man, she was really hard on minorities, which she's supposed to be black, but she's not. Give me a break. Anyway. Let's continue the article where we left off before I get off too far on that rabbit trail there. But anyway, there's a good platform for any future elections. And, I would like to see something like that take off and more get a president that will stand on that. Come on, Donald Trump, and all emergencies, especially the last one that you started and hasn't ended yet. And, revoke all executive orders. Boy, that would shed half the government right there. Everything that was begun by executive order being rebuked. Like, just think, we could get rid of, the FBI. We don't really need it. Unless we want to keep on picking on nuns and families, men and families who got, the case thrown out. And the case was thrown out against this guy, but they decided to go after him anyway. What? What kind of lawlessness has our country come to where someone is vindicated? The case is thrown out against him, but the government decides, the administration, the Biden administration decides to go after him anyway. Wow. Oh, wow. And then instead of sending him a letter or, you know, sending him a subpoena to show up, they raid his house with 30 or 40 FBI agents in the middle of the night. Yeah, with guns a-blazing. What is the world coming to? Your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike.
Oh, it's good to hear from you.
It was good to talk to you, too. I just wanted to say about these executive orders. They have... You're absolutely right what you're saying. Nobody gets this. An executive order should be limited to things like JFK allowing special forces in the U.S. Army to wear a green beret, as he did in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's the kind of
thing. Executive orders should be limited to the executive branch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not something to use to... circumvent the Constitution.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying about the people's platform. That would be wonderful.
Here's the problem is that the people individually have been incorporated into the federal government.
Yeah.
And the best evidence of that is your corporate number that ties you to the federal government.
Yeah, it's out of hand. I don't know how we get it back, but I like that idea of the people's platform.
Well, we need to keep fighting, man. We never give up. That's, whether we'll get it all back or not, all I can say is to keep it from totally overwhelming us. And I believe there's a chance on this continent to at least keep it from taking total control. Yeah.
Yep. I hope so, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you get back to it. I'm watching.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Well, you heard it there. The phone does work. And, Fireman Mike from Ohio, proved it to us. But anyway, yeah. We need to, you know, on all your social media, just copy that there, that post. It's kind of gone down there now. There it is. The People's Platform. It's 2022, 2024, whatever year it is. This should always be the People's Platform, because by this platform, if we could get this enacted, we would retain a lot of our liberty that has been lost, and perhaps have an end in having much of it restored. But that is to end all emergencies. And see, that would be a federal platform. But you could end them all in the states, because the states could declare all emergencies ended in their state, because the federal government really has no constitutional authority to do all of these things that it's doing. And revoke all executive orders. And all future executive orders should be limited to, one, either the executive branch, which is a rightful place for an executive order, coming out of the executive branch, or the presidency, because he is the chief executive of the executive branch of government. And that's all executive orders were supposed to be for. But it all started really with Abraham Lincoln, who exceeded, the authority of the executive branch by, using the executive order to make war on some of the states, the ones that wouldn't go along with his agenda. And, you know, people, well, now they'll call me racist for saying that, but it wasn't about racism and it wasn't about slavery. That was secondary, and that was something that Lincoln used to further his agenda. And that can be evidenced by any slaves in the North were not freed until after the slaves in the South were freed. Yeah. And slavery was going away on its own already. It was already happening. It would have happened regardless. We didn't have to destroy the nation and kill 400,000 or 500,000 America's fathers and sons. 99% of whom never owned a slave. There you go. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Where else are we? We're in this article here. In the debauched current state of Western civilization, the sole path of reversing this decline and collapse is for a tenacious and intrepid egalitarian leader from one of the major Western nations to assume the mantle of leadership. If we get Donald Trump in as president again, will he have learned the lessons from all of his failures and be able to take the reins of Washington, D.C. and the federal government and really clean the swamp? I don't know. What other hope do we have? We can send Ron DeSantis in there, who has, well, he has some experience in executive government in his own state. At least he has that much experience. Donald Trump had none. I believe he was overwhelmed. He thought he could go there and do what he wants. But that swamp is the deepest swamp probably in the 50 states, is the swamp in Washington, D.C. For him to think he could go in there and the whole swamp against him, I mean, his own swamp that he was in, ran two impeachment sessions on him, and then ran another one after he left office. That's what he was up against. Will it be different again? Well, we can only live and see. I would hope that someone better could come up than Trump without all of the baggage of Trump, and know what to do and learn, have learned all the lessons of Trump, and be able to go in there and perhaps even with Trump as someone who could help out in a way, to give him advice on the traps and the pitfalls and all of the swamp creatures that are hidden everywhere. It doesn't sound like an easy job to me. Anyway, so this guy thinks that it should be Trump. I'll just keep praying. We'll see. But all I can say is we will not give in. We will resist till the very end. And that end will be when Christ returns. All right, let's see. What else do we have in our bag here? John MacArthur's grace to you this week. He speaks to executive orders as the same as the Israelites wanting a king, he says, and I agree, this is America's wanting a king versus following God's law or the Constitution. Ah, yeah, it does seem that way. I agree with you, Tom, on that one. Because when they raised Trump up and almost to an idol and a cult pitch, that is wrong, and that is king-making rather than, wanting the rule of law and the government of God to shine in our nation. So, but it's, that's the human condition. That's what we have to expect from the world out there. And so that's what we have. The Red King or the Blue King. And that's basically all we're going to get is probably the best king. The only thing really we can do individually is repent and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to work that repentance and be that example and pray for our family, our city, for our family, our extended family, our city and our nation. And, that's all we can do. And the only way we could get to the point where, the point we really would like to see is that, if we had some kind of national repentance, but it all begins with us individually. So we have to do that. And, and I would like to believe that most of the listeners of First Amendment Radio would be doing that, or else why would they be here? Yeah. I don't believe that people who are not interested in repentance can stomach First Amendment Radio very long. Your name and where are you calling from?
Eric from Indiana.
Hey, Eric?
Hey, you was talking about Abe.
Ah, Abe Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
So I got a little thing about him. He gave us the syringe that we know nowadays as the vax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I watch another channel on YouTube. It's called Enter the Stars. And he does some breakdowns. Man, he's had some really, really good revelations that points all this that we're going through right now in this country.
Uh-huh.
Speed. It's all pointed to exactly what's going on. It's so many lies on top of lies. You know, like you and Farmer and Mike were just talking about the Constitution and all that stuff. You know, do we vote? Obviously, voting ain't doing nothing, right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of insane. Wow, what happened to my sound went up there. Anyway, yeah, it's insanity to expect some different to happen from voting than has already happened from voting.
Exactly. It's done and over with. We got to go a different route. So definitely that platform 2024, people's platform, that is a good idea. How many people can we actually get behind it,
Well, you have to fight against the whole social construct out there, and the social agenda is not for us. But
yeah,
as I said, without repentance on an individual basis, we're really going nowhere anyway. Unless,
exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. I just wanted to call and let you know about that and just make sure the phone still works.
All right.
Take it easy. I'm watching.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that's two calls in one day. And I noticed my volume went up there from my mic, which is kind of weird. Been working on this volume problem here. Let me pull this down a little bit. But then the sound of the phone doesn't come in as high. But my mic seems to be working really good today. Watching my monitors over here. Okay, let's see. What do we got? And where was I? Okay, we read that Donald Trump and the future of Western civilization. Is the transgender fad a triumph of marketing? Well, it's more than that. It's a triumph of fascist, Marxist education system. And I believe that, God's people especially need to take their children out of public schools. I can't believe that any conscientious Bible-believing Christian can send their children to public schools and still send them to public schools, knowing what's going on with what has been seen publicly during the so-called plandemic or so-called pandemic, but it was a planned demic. Okay. Is the EU's establishment trembling? Well, apart from the EU's establishment and the international leftist community, no one should be more worried about Italy's next government. Yeah, Italy turned a page of European history on Sunday. Unfortunately, he was wrong in adding that Italy's elected hard-right coalition. In fact, the winning coalition led by Giorgia Meloni is a center-right one, but this kind of misunderstanding perfectly reflects the way liberals and the mainstream media change the meaning of words to suit their own narrative and agenda. Meloni, for her part, describes her and her Fratelli d'Italia party, Brothers of Italy, a name that echoes the first line of the Italian national anthem, as conservative. There's no doubt that our values are conservative ones, she told The Washington Post. The issue of individual freedom, private enterprise and economy, educational freedom, the centrality of family and its role in our society, the protection of borders from unchecked immigration, the defense of the Italian national identity. These are the matters that we preoccupy ourselves with. Of course, she's very firm on her beliefs and principles, as she said at CPAC 2022. And, okay, so there's an article there, American Thinker, and more on the more opinion on what's happening over there in Italy. And we have to remember that's also the seat of the Antichrist and his Vatican over there. But we have a seat for the Vatican over here. It's called Washington, D.C., and the seat of the Vatican in Washington, D.C. is Georgetown University, from which a lot of the legislation that gets passed in Washington, D.C., probably a bulk of it, ends up and is finalized at Georgetown University. Brings to mind the Patriot Act that they passed after 9/11, came directly out of the Georgetown University. So let's see what else we have here in the way of news. China's aggression against Taiwan shows fear, not strength. A meeting in New York last week between China's foreign minister and Henry Kissinger is a good reminder that China's territorial ambitions are at odds with history. Every time it lets liberty creep in, its economy has improved. Whenever it cracks down on liberty, the economy weakens. Even if China uses force to take Taiwan, it will be killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Yeah, they see the golden egg over there that is free Taiwan, and they will kill it. The Republic of China, in 1949, after Mao Zedong's communist forces won the war against the nationalists, Chiang Kai-shek, who had been president of the Republic of China since 1928, went into exile in Taiwan. He led independent Taiwan from 1949 until his death in 1975. Hong Kong, thank you for that. Yes, that's right. That's what they did in Hong Kong. And what happened in Hong Kong will be repeated in Taiwan if they take it. And they could easily take it. And who would stop them? Will America, the threat of America? I don't know. I tend to agree with this author here that their aggression against Taiwan shows fear and not strength. So I think there's something to that. The climate crisis. The only climate crisis going on right now is in Florida. It's called weather, right? It's like global warming. You know, wherever the sun shines, it warms up the globe, which currently is happening right here. We're just going through our last heat wave of the season here in California. We hit 98 and 99 degrees for the last 2 days. I didn't think we'd see 100 again, but we nearly got there. But it looks like we're done with hundreds and probably the high 90s for the rest of this year until next season. But that's my commentary on the climate and the climate crisis is weather. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
It's Monday, September 26th, A.D. 2022. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. On September 16th, a group of ISIS-affiliated Muslim militants stormed a Catholic mission compound in the city of Chipinge in Mozambique, Africa, reports International Christian Concern. The gunmen set fire to the church, the hospital, and the schools there. While most of the nuns and other inhabitants were able to flee, one woman, an Italian nun named Maria De Coppi, was fatally shot in the head as she ran toward a dormitory where it is believed that students were hiding. She was 83 years old and spent 59 years serving the people of Mozambique, a country in Southeast Africa. Mozambique is the 41st most dangerous country in the world for Christians, according to Open Doors. Last Thursday, a Texas mother, Ann Georgulis, who intends to quote-unquote transition her 8-year-old son James into a girl named Luna, won in court, reports the Save James Facebook page. The Facebook page reported that, quote, the judge has ruled against Jeff Younger, the father, as expected. James and Jude, his twin brother, are lost. A small hearing over Zoom was all Judge Mary Brown of the 301st District Court in Dallas needed to remove a father from his children's lives, a hearing that the public was not given access to, which goes against Texas law. Jeff Younger, the father, has almost no access to any information about the boys. It's almost as if he's not their father at all, end quote. In a September 13th post, Save James reported that, quote, Ann Georgulis, the mother, stated she wanted to take Jeff Younger's boys to California, where child sterilization is legal, end quote. In August 2021, Judge Brown had granted full custody of 8-year-old James Younger to his mother. Not surprisingly, Georgulis' announced retirement date, September 30th, coincides with the likely date of California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom's signature of the Transgender State of Refuge Bill into law, allowing her to chemically castrate her 8-year-old son, James. John 3, verse 20 says, for everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. On August 29th, the California legislature passed the radical so-called Trans State of Refuge Bill, or Senate Bill 107, which has alarmed parents nationwide. It's now sitting on the desk of California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom, who is likely to sign it by September 30th. Introduced by Democratic State Senator Scott Wiener, a self-professed homosexual, this bill aims to make the state of California a refuge for transgender surgeries for children from across America, reports the Washington Stand. According to Wiener's press release, quote, if these parents and their kids come to California, the legislation will help protect them from having their kids taken away from them or from being criminally prosecuted for supporting their trans kids' access to health care, end quote. The bill would allow minors to obtain procedures such as puberty blockers, hormones, and gender transition surgeries, which several states are restricting or banning altogether. Parenthetically, Senator Wiener wants to make drag queen shows mandatory for school kids and previously introduced a bill to let judges exempt some homosexual pedophiles from the sex offender registry. In a September 20th letter signed by 50 conservative groups, including Alliance Defending Freedom and Family Research Council, they urged Governor Newsom to veto Senate Bill 107. They wrote, quote, we are writing to respectfully request that you veto SB 107, a dangerous piece of legislation which ignores the established authority of the other 49 states and also violates the fundamental rights of parents while increasing the risks of irreversible harm to America's children, end quote. Last Thursday, Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom announced his state's launch of 7 pro-abortion billboards that invoke the Bible, reports the Daily Caller. The billboards advertise the recently launched website, abortion.ca.gov, which provides information to help mothers in pro-life states kill their babies in California. The billboards are going up in Texas, Indiana, Ohio, Mississippi, South Dakota, South Carolina, and Oklahoma. Shockingly, the billboards in Mississippi and Oklahoma invoke passages from the Bible to promote their abortion site. The billboards quoted Mark 12, verse 31, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." By the way, the other commandment to which "these" refers is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And the worldview would add, "If you love the Lord your God, you will hate what he hates." In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, Solomon writes that the Lord hates seven things that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Governor Newsom is guilty as sin of all seven. And finally, how about some good news? A Florida Chick-fil-A employee came to the rescue when a woman with a baby had her car keys stolen in the restaurant parking lot. He took down the thief, helping foil the attempted carjacking, and has since been recognized for his bravery with the Community Service Citizens Award, reports the Epoch Times. On September 14th, Michael Gordon was working his afternoon shift in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, when he heard screaming in the parking lot. Running to investigate, he found a woman with a baby in her arms. The woman was lifting her baby out of her car when she was approached by a man holding a stick who demanded her keys. The man, 43-year-old William Branch, snatched the keys from the woman's waistband and got inside the vehicle. When Gordon arrived at the scene, he pulled Branch from the vehicle and wrestled him to the ground, sustaining a punch to the face. After a witness captured the takedown on video, it went viral on Twitter, where it has been viewed 8.5 million times. Thankfully, he was able to keep Branch subdued until police arrived on the scene. In the awards ceremony, these were the words from the sheriff.
Due to Michael's courageous actions and unhesitating response,